People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 5, Episode 105 overall. We got Rob Flansburgh in the building, local bodybuilder here in Rhode Island from Saratoga Springs, New York. Attended the University of Rhode Island like myself. So first things first, Rob, how's it going, man? How you been?
Hey, Cam, thanks for having me, man. It's I'm happy to be here. It's been great.
Yeah.
Life's been good. It's been a crazy start to the summer. Kind of everything came together at once between the show, went a couple of vacations, went on a trip to Florida, so... It's been busy, but life's been good. Can't complain, man.
Yeah, busy guy since graduating. You graduated last year, right? 2023?
Yeah. Yep.
So we met from a few local connections in the Johnson area, the Sabatoni twins, Cam and Matt. They're doing their thing with Zenith, Alex Rodriguez and Mike Parada, their local band here in Rhode Island, doing their thing. We met at a show in Boston, I want to say, their first ever original show.
Yeah.
They introduced me. They were like, Cam, this would be a great connection. Like, he's a great guy. Not like any of the major sports, but it's like, bodybuilding's like you put your body through a lot. So they were like, he's a great guy. He would be an awesome guest for the podcast. So I was like, you know what? Let's hit up Rob. Let's get it done. URI guy like myself. So I guess from that, off of that, I guess your background in New York, starting off growing up, talk about like, do you have a family background in bodybuilding, or was it kind of something that you kind of took off like on yourself?
Yeah. I mean, well, kind of to go off all that. I think, what was that? Where was that actually? The first show, Brighton, right?
Brighton Musical, yeah.
Yeah, they killed that.
Yeah.
Zenith, man. If you guys don't know them, check them out.
Yeah.
Sure most of you do by now.
They've been on the pod.
They've been killing it. Those are our boys. But yeah, so it's been an absolute pleasure. I guess to answer your question in terms of family roots and bodybuilding, no. My dad actually liked the Sabs. He was a rock star. He's a guitarist, played in bands growing up. That was his thing, that was his jam. So. I was really kind of just doing my own thing when it came to bodybuilding. I played sports growing up my whole life. I was always an athlete. Hockey was always my main focus. Played hockey really competitively, had a junior hockey career myself for 5 years. Actually, went all over the country for that. Had a couple knee surgeries and, that's a whole other story, but had a career as an athlete. Mm. And then, came a day where that was all over, and I looked myself in the mirror, and I was like, who am I? Like, what do I do? And I just continued to go to the gym and just really just found that, training and, lifting in the gym was just part of who I was. Mm. I just, always just loved going to the gym. It was a part of the day that I always just, looked forward to. Like, I had class or homework or work or whatever it is. I always just felt like it was my time of day.
Yeah.
That was, my time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, nothing else mattered. Nothing else in my head, mattered. You had a really busy day at school or work or, going through some stuff, with a girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else mattered at the time. You're in the gym. That's it. You got some music on. You're rocking out, getting a lift, sick pump, whatever. Life's good. It's just, clear at the moment. And so I just really enjoyed being in the gym. And I was always, as an athlete in good shape my whole life. And, I didn't want to let that go.
Yeah.
A lot of hockey guys, too, when they're done skating, they all get fat because they just want to drink. And, and I don't blame them at all. It's a great time. But I was just, very conscious about my health and just enjoyed being in the gym. And then it was just one of those things where I spent so much time doing it that I wanted to get better at it.
Mm.
And then in terms of the gym, getting better means, you're looking better, you're getting stronger. And, you feel healthier, you feel better. It also gave me personality traits. It made me more confident in myself, gave others confidence in me.
Mm.
And I really grew a lot when I started bodybuilding, obviously physically, but more mentally.
Yeah.
And you spend so much time in yourself and your own head. And like I said, it was kind of a release. So that's really how I got into it. And then it's a very genetic sport.
Yeah.
And I just would always follow these bodybuilders. And I was I can do this. I really think I can do this. I have a good shot at doing this.
Yeah.
And so I was when I graduate college, I really want to give it a shot, competitively as an athlete. Because I always just loved the gym. But there wasn't a whole lot of, money, I guess, in it. When I was thinking about, becoming a personal trainer or something like that, I was like always thinking more like career based. Mm. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't know if that's really going to yield me the best, you know, future.
Yeah.
So I kind of always pushed that off, but I really wanted to go for it as an athlete. So I was like, you know, when I graduate, I want to compete and see how far I can go. And then maybe, you know, own my own gym one day, mm. you know, be my own boss, Paraline, like whatever that may be. And then I just felt that when I started like lifting at college, I just grew tremendously.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's also when you're in college, so your diet's inconsistent. And that's what I've learned now is your diet is, like, everything
mm-hmm.
in terms of this sport.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very happy that I did it. But, like, in college, like, that's kind of how I got started was I was like, you know what, like, I want to give this a shot. I think I have the right genetics for it. I have, like, the passion for it. I just want to get better at, mm-hmm. you know, what I was doing, spending most of my time doing. So that's really how I got into it.
Yeah, and, I mean, my dad played hockey growing up, so I was always kind of around that a little bit. I didn't take a leg into it when I was a kid, but I loved basketball. That's like my passion for why I do this, why I do everything that I did at URI. Like the new job I just got, like if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
Right.
So I guess that transition from knowing that you're not going to play hockey at the next level, how did you decide on going to URI? And like what was your mindset as far as what do you want to study? And again, like your gym schedule and still fitting that in to make sure like you get your reps in every day.
Right. So, I mean, the reason that I stopped playing hockey, actually the reason that I went to URI was to play hockey.
Yeah.
Cause kind of how I touched on before, like I played juniors for a long time mm-hmm. and I actually ended up, you know, having three, you know, knee injuries. I tore my ACL and my meniscus. Then I tore my meniscus again. And then I tore my MCL, my other knee. So like three out of like my 5 years of my junior hockey career, I was injured for.
Mm.
So really the only schools that I could go to and like play hockey at were like some small D3 schools that had been like following me, really since like the very beginning of my junior hockey career, and none of them really excited me. I was like, you know, I'd rather go to school where I want to go to school, like have fun, and you know, because in 4 years I'm done anyways. Like if I play D3, I'm pretty much done.
Mm.
So especially like at those schools that interested in me. I was like, you know, I'm pretty much done, so I might as well go to school or want to go have fun, play club, you know, pack the barn. You know, that was the dream. Like, as a hockey player, as any athlete, you're like, yeah. You know, I want to go somewhere where, you know, you pack the barn, and everybody's there, and, like, you're the man, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And it was just pretty clear that that wasn't going to happen anymore, just based off of how everything went. And so I was like, you know, I looked up URI, heard great things about it, and they were actually the only school that I had applied to, like, in, like, June. I was waiting to hear back from like one of my top five D3 schools that I like wanted to play at, and they're like, hey, we gave it all our commits, we're still waiting to hear back from some guys, but like if somebody declines and we have a spot, we'd love to have you. So I was waiting. It's June. I'm like, okay, like college starts in like 2 months,
right?
And I don't know where I'm going yet, so I gotta figure this out. So like I said, heard great things, looked up URI, had rolling admissions. I'm like, what are the odds? Shot out an application. It was the only school I actually applied to. And then, like, a couple weeks later, like, very beginning of July, I, you know, saw that I got accepted. And they had the best club hockey team in the Northeast. It was, you know, not too far away from home, but it wasn't, like, necessarily close to home.
Mm.
And, you know, I also wanted my friends that I made in college to be able to come home to, like, Saratoga in the summer because there's a great summer spot.
Yeah.
So ended up just saying, like, you know what, screw it, screw hockey. I'm just going to go to URI and play club there. And then I ended up going to URI, and it was, like, the best decision I ever made. I grew a lot as a person. Mm-hmm. I ended up, you know, here because of all the decision I've made. So I'm really thankful for that. And, you know, ended up meeting some of my best friends, Sabs,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some of my other meathead buddies that got me into the gym, into bodybuilding. And that's where I really learned, and that's when I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to have a career in this, so.
Yeah, so it was more so you just decided on URI just for the fact of going there, getting a good education and stuff like that. It wasn't, so you didn't play club at all.
No, I went to the first tryout and I actually had a great tryout. And I remember I was talking to guys. I was like, so guys, like, what's it like playing here? And they were like, you know, like nobody comes to the games. Like we're kind of like, you know, invisible. You can't really go out on the weekends. You can't join a fraternity and like all this stuff. And I was really hoping they'd be like, oh, like, you know, it's awesome. Like, we packed the barn. Like, we're nasty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And They are an awesome hockey team, and it's still very skilled. They have a lot of great guys. I became really close to a lot of guys on the club team throughout my career at college, but essentially they were telling me everything that I didn't want to hear, which is great. That's why I asked, and they were very truthful to me, which is great. And unfortunately, my love for the sport was just gone. I was like, you know what? I'm just so burnt. Like, I'd get on the ice and, like, I'd mess up a play or something, or, like, I'd fumble a puck on my stick. And even though it's not a big deal, I would just get pissed off. I just, like, get off the ice. I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Wow.
And just kind of, like, because you work so hard for something, and, like, just to feel like it kind of, like, fell through the cracks, or, like, crumbled in a certain way, you just kind of get, like, frustrated. You know what I mean? And so for me, it was kind of like the dream was just gone, and so it just didn't hit the same anymore. And so when I heard that it was just kind of like over like that, when they were like, yeah, it's not really what I thought it was going to be, I was like, you know what? I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is it.
Hmm.
And I still remember that day. Like, I called my parents and I was like, you know, like, Mom, Dad, like, I'm done playing hockey. Like, I'm done. And that was wild too, because, like, you know, that was my whole life. Like, that's all I did. Like, I didn't have much of a high school career at all. I didn't go out, didn't go to football games, didn't do anything. All I did was play hockey. Like, I'd train every day throughout the summer, skate every day, playing, like, every tournament all over, you know, God's green earth. And I have the best parents ever that allowed me to do that. And, you know, it made me who I am. I'm very thankful for all of it. But, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, it's over. Like,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to spend my 4 years here, you know, it's going to go by pretty quick, but I can either hang on to something or I can just let it go and turn the page and, you know, grow and, you know, find my next, you know, chapter, if you will. So ended up hanging it up after that first tryout. And, you know, it was a big Greek life school. Ended up joining a fraternity. He was very involved and held a lot of positions and made a lot of great friends, connections, and made me a leader. And kind of that's how I met my buddies that really got me into bodybuilding. My buddy Sam and Johnny, they're like two of my best friends. And, you know, they were into the gym and they were more so educated in it than I was at the time, because I was trained as an athlete.
Yep.
Not like to, like, you know, look good and as, like, you know, a bodybuilder. And then when I started, like, lifting like that, I grew so much. Like, my strength went up like crazy. And I was never really, like, that strong as a hockey player. Like, I think my max bench was, like, 245 or something.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what was your build when you were a hockey player?
I was pretty light. I was, like, 185, I think. And I was, I mean, I'm 5'11", so I was, like, 5'11 since, like, you know, junior high school or something like that. And I was, like, 185, and I was always trying to just hit, like, 200.
Was that you, like, the first few years of – oh, not first few, but, like, the first year of college, were you that same build, or was it
– Yeah, yeah, I came into college a hockey player, so, like, I was, you know, like, 185, like, 190. And I remember I was, like, trying so hard to hit 200 pounds, you know, because that was, like, a big milestone. I was like, I just want to be 200 pounds. And then, you know, it's funny now, like, looking back on all of it, like, this year, going through, like, my first year of competitive bodybuilding, like, I got up to, like, 260. So I was massive.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah. I mean, congrats. I mean, dude, you're killing it. I mean, that's why we got you here. I mean, you're doing the right things. And it's, I always love talking back on how it all started and how the journey kind of goes up, goes down, goes back up, and all the trials and tribulations you go through. But, keep talking about that. Like, the, I guess, again, you said you met some of your buddies, your close friends that you still talk to this day that got you into bodybuilding. When did like, when did it click, when you were like, I can make some content out of this, I could really make this into a career and compete and keep going instead of just going to the gym and working out?
Right. So, I mean, in terms of the whole content thing, so nowadays it's like, well, like, I guess I'll backtrack a little bit. So what really, like, got me into bodybuilding was following, like, those main bodybuilders. Like, Arnold, like, I really started, like, watch his stuff, obviously, because he's Arnold. He was a godfather of bodybuilding. And I would get a lot of my stuff from him. And then, obviously, I started following Chris Bumstead, who's, like, the face of this whole industry. And so, like, that was the guy that I learned, like, all my stuff from, was, like, Chris Bumstead, right? So I became a good fan. Or a big fan of his. And that was really, like, sophomore year of college. During COVID, I was watching a lot of, like, Chris Bumstead's, like, YouTube videos and stuff. That's how I, like, kind of learned a lot of things and techniques and exercises. And I watched, like, you know, Hani, his coach, like, go over, like, all these techniques and stuff. And so, like, that's where I kind of was, like, learning a lot. And so that's where I started to watch more, like, the content side of things, was because, like, it's all right there on YouTube nowadays. But, like Bronny Coleman, Jay Cutler, like, all those, like, golden era bodybuilders are all like, that was like a magazine era.
Yeah.
So like in terms of the content, what I was getting at was like, I kind of hated it at first. Like I hated it and I sucked at it.
It's a grind, like, man. Everyone's trying to get on it too.
It's a grind. Mm-hmm. It's literally a full-time job. Like, as you know, yeah. Like, you know, editing, like shooting the video, shooting like the workout, doing all that isn't that bad. Like it's quick. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You're doing that as you're, you know, working out or whatever you're doing. So you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
But like when it comes time to sit down and edit it, it takes a while, right? Yeah. And sometimes like YouTube isn't your best friend, copyright, uploading times will take like a day or two sometimes. Mm-hmm. It takes a while.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning, you know, like this is my first year in, not even a full year. I've had my camera for like a couple months now, but I've learned pretty quick off of like YouTube and like some of my bodybuilders that I follow. Like for example, Chris Bumstead, Vaughn Walker. Actually, when I met him, I told him like, "Hey, it was really cool to meet you because I've been learning a lot of, like my content and like YouTube and stuff from him,
mm-hmm.
and like how he kind of edits his things. I think it's pretty cool, so I've been learning a lot from him. And how I guess to again backtrack to how I got into the whole content thing was more so like I knew I really wanted to compete and I really wanted to be an athlete, but like all my friends and my buddies were like, "Dude, like you gotta get yourself out there, like you gotta start making some content." And, like, marketing yourself.
Like, you got to be, like, your own brand in a way.
Yeah.
Like, Camp's Corner is, like, a brand.
Yeah,
I might not make as much money, like, now, but it's, like, a couple of years down the line, people will remember, like, Camp's Corner, being on Camp's Corner, the Lotless CC logo. It's, like, you got to make your own Rob Flans brand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still working on that because I really would like to, like, you know, have my own, like, company as, like, apparel. I love clothes. I love gym clothes.
Yep.
Ideally, I'd like to have, like, an old-school bodybuilding clothing, like, apparel line. I think that'd be really cool, just, like, old-school stringers, like, bodybuilding shorts. Like, that's just kind of, like, my vibe. I'm an old soul man, like, 80s rock and roll, like, 80s classic rock, and old-school bodybuilding, and, like, muscle cars. Like, it doesn't get more, like, 80s than that. So, that's kind of the dream that I'm chasing. Like, I want to go down to Florida. I want to, you know, be where it's, like, sunny and warm, you know, and do all that, like, you know, work out, pursue bodybuilding, and like just you know, chase the dream. That's really what I want to do.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, nowadays it's like being the social media era, you got to market yourself
for sure.
So, like, it doesn't hurt to, you know, do everything, attack from all angles, because you never know, like, you never know,
who's watching, you never know what could blow up. Like, I've had a few reels like out of nowhere kind of just catch traction and blow up. One that I talk about a lot is, when I would broadcast, Rhode Island games, I would always be on either basketball or like, any other sport outside of football. I would do like sideline stuff for football, but when I was on the air, it'd be on ESPN. So like, the quality was great. I was like, you know, I'm going to start putting my phone up and recording myself. And like similar to you, like I would have people on social media that inspired me to do that. I would see young guys doing it that, like, you know, they catch traction for some of their calls. One in particular I always talk about is Carlo Jimenez. He's like the new voice of the Clippers now. So I was like, you know what? Let me start doing this like myself and put a little twist on it, like any way I can for Rhode Island. So Ray Allen's son scored his first bucket, and I had it on tape, and I put it out, and it's got like close to 1 million views now.
Wow!
And that kind of helped me. Once I started getting consistent with it and putting more videos out and doing like one every other day, like, the followers started going up, the views, all that stuff just started going up just because of how consistent I was. And I see that you do the same thing, so I'm like, we're kind of similar in a sense.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I work out, but I don't work out like the way that you do. So I was like, you know what? Like, it's a different type of athlete. It's not like a major sport athlete, but it's like you're putting your body through so much, just like these guys are, you know, on a different scale, obviously.
Yeah.
So run me through a week. Like, what does a week look like for yourself in the gym?
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, that didn't change too much from how I was when I was in college. Like, you know, because in college, it's like I wake up, I'd go to class, I'd come home, change, go to the gym. And, like, actually, I learned now that I was doing too much. Like, in college, I was always lifting too heavy.
You ever have, like, a woke moment? Like a...
Oh, yeah.
Bam. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I learned so much this year. Because this was, like, really, this is my first year, right? So this is my first time, like, going through the full process. And I'm still learning, like, because I'm in my reversal right now. Which essentially is like me coming out of, you know, prep and stage, like leanness.
Yep.
Like, I'm still like pretty tight. Like, my vascularity, my legs, my arms is still pretty wild. And it was an insane experience. But, like, essentially, like, what I've learned, though, is, like, you know, it's all about, like, your reps. Like, it's perfect reps, you know, because you're going for muscle failure, right? So what I was getting at was, like, before, like, in college, I'd be at the gym for, like, you know, 4 hours. And I would go every single day. But now it's like I've learned, like, you know, you need rest because your body needs time to recover. So now, like, my week is, like, I'll have 2 days where I rest. And I'll be at the gym really for, like, it varies, but, like, 2 to 3 hours. And that's mainly because, like, I'll go get there for, like, a half hour of that. I'll probably say hi to, like, all my friends and people because it's a great spot. The gym that I've been at all year, the Top Strength Project in Pawtucket, is just a great group of people. So usually of that 3 hours, like, 30 minutes, I'll probably be, you know, saying hi or, you know, talking to my friends. And then I'll really lift with, like, great intensity for, like, an hour and a half. Like, maybe 2 hours, but that's just because, like, I kind of just get lost and just keep adding stuff if I have time. And coach was kind of getting on me about that when I was coming into prep because he's like, hey, like, as you get leaner, you can kind of hurt your tissue that you've built by being there too and doing too much, being there too long. So I've actually been trying to shorten and trim up my workouts to keep my intensity high, go in there, hit it hard, get that stimulus, and move on. Because that's really all you need. You don't need a whole lot of time. Just go in, be efficient, get that stimulus and leave. And then, like, with cardio, like, right now I'm doing, like, a half hour cardio a session. So I guess to really answer your question, I'll spend, like, 5 days in the week in the gym. So I'll do, like, for example, today I was going to start with legs. So I'd go there for legs, I'd lift for, like, an hour, hour and a half, and then have 30 minutes of cardio after, and I come home and I eat, and then I'd go to bed. And then, like, essentially what each day looks like is I eat 5 meals a day. Every meal is, like, 2 to 4 hours apart. And then I usually have, like, 4 of my meals. By the time 5 o'clock comes around, I clock out of work. And then I go to the gym right away at 6 o'clock. And then, like, the next day for me would be, like, you know, back and shoulders. Again, I go there for, like, an hour and a half, get my lift in, and then I'll have my cardio at the end. And then I come home, eat meal 5, and then it's just, you know, rinse and repeat every single day. And then I really rest between days 2 and 3 of upper body. So I never do 3 days of upper body in a row. Because you'll find that if you do 3 days in a row, your intensity will be pretty low. You're going to be like, oh, I feel really tired. Like, my arms are pretty smoked. Or, like, I just don't really have that power today. And so that's something I learned from coach, too. He was like, you got to take rest because if you don't, your body won't have time to recover. And then your intensity will also be lower, and you just simply won't grow tissue. Like, you just won't. You're going to be working against yourself.
Right.
And the whole sport is bodybuilding. You're trying to get bigger. You're trying to look better. You're trying to get stronger. And so, like, in college, I would have been like, that's a sin. Like, a rest day? Like, you know, being a meathead, like, gym bro, I was like, you know, a rest day? Like, who does that? You know, that's for, like, my sister kind of thing. And, you know, my sister works really hard, too. So if she sees this, I love you. But, you know, I was like, you know, like, super, like, I got to go every day kind of in college. And now I'm like, oh, like, I need rest, listen to your body. And so essentially I'll rest usually like Friday, and then I'll finish up with days 4 and 5, Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday I'll rest, and then Tuesday's day 1 again.
Yeah. So that must be like you work that 9 to 5, like, you just, you're so hungry to get into the gym.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess, you know, obviously this happened, like, you started getting into it, like, the professional way, like, after school. One, when did like backtrack and help me figure out, like, when that, like, you wanted to take it full steam, and then the build up to your first competition and the emotions preparing for it before it happened.
Right. So, like, how it all kind of played out was, like, I graduated college, and obviously senior year, finishing college, being in, like, a fraternity or whatever, I looked terrible. I was, like, on a liquid diet. I just got off of spring break, like, every day, like, the final year of spring semester, like, I was drinking every day, and it was taken away from, like, my time in the gym, and when I did go to the gym, I just kind of felt horrible, and I was kind of, like, I'm ready to turn the page, and so, because I kept telling myself, I was, like, when I graduate, I want to go for it, I want to do it, I want to compete. And not just, like, once, like, just do a competition to, like, check it off my bucket list, but, like, I want to, like, be a bodybuilder, like, because I want that lifestyle. I like their mentality that they have, like, Jay Cutler, Dorian Yates, like, I read his stuff, and I'm like, that's badass. Like,
yeah.
I want to be like that. Like, I want to live that life, kind of. And so I was like, I kept telling myself, I'm going to do it. And I, that's, like, something I kind of always would hold myself to is, like, my own word. Mm-hmm. Like you know, you should.
For sure.
So I was, like, I told myself I was going to do it. So, like, let's do it. And then so we graduated, and I was training over the summer with actually, like, my good friend. Actually at Edge Fitness in Warwick. I was training with Tyler Dusty just throughout the summer. He's a good buddy of mine. And he was good friends with, I forget her name, but it was essentially, she was a professional bodybuilder herself. Mm-hmm. It was a good family friend of his. And I was like, hey, like, can you ask her, like, if she knows anybody that would coach me? Because, like, I really want to compete. Like, I really want to go pro. I want to be an athlete. Like, I want to own my own gym. Like, this is what I want to do. And so he's like, yeah, absolutely. So after our workout that day, like, you know, took, like, a couple, like, pictures after our workout, after that lift, and I sent them to her, like, just like a DM. Mm. And she's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, send a message to this guy. Like, you got it. And I'm like, awesome. So that's what I did. I messaged this coach that she had recommended. And he was like, yeah, like, you know, get back to me at the end of August. We'll start you for September if this is really something you want to do. And I was like, all right, cool. So it was like, you know, beginning of July at the time. And I was like, all right, let's do this thing. So I got in the best shape of my life, you know, at the time that I thought. And I was doing, like, you know, cardio every day, lifting every day. Thought I was absolutely dialed and, like, my routine was. Now it's like, you know, things are so much different than I thought they had to be at the time. Mm. That's because I've learned after having gone through it. And so essentially that came around. I was probably like 2:15 when I first reached out to him at the beginning of September. And at the time, I thought it was the best shape of my life. I was probably like 10% body fat, 2:15. I was like, oh, I feel great. Mm. And so he's like, yep, like, we'll get you going if this is really what you want to do. So then we started training September. Took September really as like a kind of like a month to see how, like, food,
yep,
how my body, like, responded to, like, food, like, you know, like, sodium and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And then we really started growing come October. So October to January, like, the end of January, I went from 215 to, like, 260.
Wow. That's not even that, like, that long.
No, I was, like, what is that, 4 months? I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of time, but, you know, it's just consistent diet, consistent discipline. And it wasn't like I was eating, like, shit. Like, I was eating, like, great food. I was eating, like, you know.
What's that diet like?
And so that's the thing, too, is, like, each week, like, I'll check in with him.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll kind of analyze how we look. Mm. And he's so smart. I mean, I'd love to disclose his name, but he's actually transitioning his career. Mm-hmm. It's more, like, judging. So he's trying to
keep it on the DL. Yeah, yeah.
So he's, like, my secret weapon, which is great. But he's the man. I respect the hell out of him. He's just an absolute blessing. He's changed my life and is allowing me to pursue this.
For sure.
And he's just so intelligent. But anyways, I would, you know, shoot him a, like, series of poses, mm-hmm, like, say, like, a Tuesday morning. Like, I'd weigh myself, like, bra, like, no food, no water, right out of bed. You know, just empty, flat morning weight. And then I'd send him some poses, like, side chest, side tricep, abs and thigh, like, front double bi. All those poses. And then with my weight, if we're trying to grow, if we like the way everything looks, he'll add a little bit of food. And it could be something, like, so simple, like half a cup of cooked rice or, like, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter or, like, you know, another English muffin in the morning, like, something really small. But, like, over the course of a week, you'd see that your body would start to gain, like, a pound, between, like, 1 to 5 pounds.
Mm.
5 is a lot, but, like, you know, if you're gaining a ton of weight, then it's too much to pull it back because you don't want to get fat, right? Mm. The point is to add quality lean tissue. So if one day you're like, hey, I'm going to bulk and I'm going to eat 6,000 calories and your body's used to eating, like, you know, 3,500, you're just going to get fat.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that.
Right.
So, yeah, you'll put on mass, but, like, it won't necessarily be the best mass that you want to put on. So essentially, like, throughout that whole growth phase, it was just, like, a gradual progression. So, like, it went from, like, you know, 3,300, which is what I was eating in September, to, like, 3,800. And then, like, from there, which got me up to, like, you know, probably like 220, 225, somewhere in that range. And then you'll see that your body will stop gaining weight. You'll kind of sit there. And then, like, you'll sit there for, like, another week. And if you still don't change, like, okay, let's add a little bit more. So then you add, like, about, like, 400 calories. And you see a slow climb, and then eventually same thing, it'll stop. Mm. And then you add a little bit more, and you keep going.
Yep.
And it's a gradual, like, progression over time. And so what I was eating then when I was 260 versus what I was eating when I was, like, stepping on stage when I was 204, which that was another thing. It went up to 260, and then in, like, 20 weeks, it dropped 60 pounds. Got down to 204.
Wow.
On stage. I was eating, like, the same stuff, but just in different portions.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like you're going crazy. It's still very dialed, but it's just the amount that you're putting in your body.
Mm.
So, first year was incredible. I learned how important diet is.
Yeah.
Because that's really the whole sport. It's all diet. Because, like, you can go to the gym every day. You can work really hard in the gym. Like, busting your ass, giving everything you got. But if you don't, like, make those tweaks in your diet, or you're cheating your diet, or you're missing meals, like, that's really what contributes to your progress.
Mm.
So, like, as a bodybuilder, that's what's going to separate, like, the good from the great, or, like, the pros from the amateurs. So that's what coach actually told me, and so that hit home for me because, like, this is what I really want to do. So I was like, that's it. Like, I'm not missing a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely dying. Like, all year, I hit everything on the head. Whatever he told me to do, I was like, you know, you give me the blueprint, I'll do it. Like, you tell me to jump, I'll say how high, like, I'm on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great year. Learned a lot. Nutrition's huge. Recovery's huge. And then training. You know, once you figure that out, it's pretty simple. It's just, you know, reps, perfect reps till failure. And obviously, the heavier reps, or the reps under the heavier weight, will yield more stimulus, more results. But if you're lacking in your form and your reps, then, like, you know, it's kind of working against you. So you kind of got to find that perfect balance, that perfect weight for you.
Is your mental state, how, just talk about how it's grown. Like, the, I know you talk a lot about mentality and how this sport is really about mental toughness. I mean, you talked about the ins and outs of it too, dieting and whatnot. And, but I mean, mentality is everything because it's you against you.
Right.
So, more so again, like your week to week workouts and stuff like that. But most recently in your last competition, like what your mental state was like.
Yeah, you know, I guess mine was quite a bit different than most bodybuilders. Like, I guess a lot of people kind of have a tough time when they're coming down, they're prepping, and they get in such a low state of body fat.
Yeah.
And, like, your hormones, like, all drop and stuff because, you know, like, essentially it's all hormones that regulate your body, right, and your mentality and your emotions. So when you're going through such a dramatic change like that in your body, it'll change your like, you know, your whole mindset and everything. And so the big thing about bodybuilding is trying to resist all that as you're prepping for the stage. And I don't know if it's a gift or if it's maybe I'm just weird, I don't know, but I had a blast, like, all throughout prep. It was actually, like, the best experience I ever had. Maybe it's because I was so excited, because it was something that I wanted to do for a long time, and, like, just seeing all the details and kind of seeing all that hard work come together was just so cool for me. So I actually had a great time. Like, you know, I'm in the gym, I'm having a blast, like, I'm just happy to be there, I'm listening to music, I got my friends there, like, it's just another day, kind of, like, you know, just enjoying life, just doing what I like to do, doing what I do. And so I guess, like, to answer your question in terms of mentality, it's like, every day it's kind of like I prepare myself for the gym. Like, I'm thinking about the gym, like, thinking about the gym now, like, I'm going to hit, when I, like, I'm going to go hit legs today, I want to get under the bar, I want to, you know, move five wheels again. It's been a minute since I was under heavy weight. So I've been thinking about that all day. Like, you know, I'm going to squat today. What I'm going to do after that. I want to add, like, some RDLs. Like, just kind of always thinking about it. And then, like, you know, I'm away to the gym, listen to a little bit of, like, you know, music, usually rock. And then, you know, get my pre-workout in me. And I'm like, okay, like, this is my plan. Like, I always attack the gym with, like, a plan. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And then when I'm in the gym, my mentality, like, when I'm working out, is like, how much do you really got? Like, I know I've said that a couple of times, like, on my posts and stuff. It's like, how much do you really got? Like, you'll be doing a set, and it's like, yeah, like, I'm tired, like, I'm burning, I'm on fire, but it's like, why not do a couple more? Like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
And especially, like, as a competition standpoint, it's like, how many of these guys that you're going against are really pushing themselves, like, even beyond that point, like, to the point you are? And I'm sure the most bodybuilders are, but, like, that's the thing is, like, if that this is the sport, you got to set some high standards for yourself. You got to set some high goals for yourself, right? Because you're already sacrificing a lot, and so are they. So, like, these people are standing on stage, you know, after, you know, not going out all year, not, you know, hanging out with their friends really as much, they're dialed in their diet. they're also training, busting their ass, giving everything they got. Mm. You got to beat that. Like, this is a competition, right? So it's like you got to not only for yourself push past those limits, but you also got to take in consideration, like, it's a competition. Like, there is people out there that are also doing stuff beyond their limits. So it's like you got to go even further than that.
Right.
So it's like when I'm hitting a set, you just kind of keep going until you literally can't.
Yeah.
That's really just kind of like the only thing that's going through my head. But, like, if you enjoy it,
yeah,
like, I kind of – I have fun with it.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm having fun with it, it's not really that brutal. I mean, like, it'll suck, like, as you're doing it. Like, for example, the other day I was doing, like, a pendulum squat, like, drop set till failure.
Mm.
I was seeing, like, stars for, like, 15 minutes after that. I was dead.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, fun. Like, my buddy and I were joking around after. But, like, in the set, during the moment, like, that's all that matters, and you're giving it everything you got.
I saw a video that you posted on your page. I forget, like, what you were doing, but there was, like, a little kid watching you, and you're like, you want to hit this? I was like, yeah, I don't blame you. I don't want to do it either. So, but you talk about, like, that mindset. Like, I agree with you 100%. That's how I go about everything that I do in my life. I mean, right. Obviously, I'm not, like, in the gym like how you are, but it's, like, when I'm on the air or when I'm doing stuff like this or when I have, like, an off day, it's like, what can I do to get the next step up on the next guy? Or what can I do to even just sharpen myself up, even if I'm not doing stuff, like, in the real world? I'm here by myself. Let me get better that way.
Exactly.
Do you take that with everything in your life, or is it more so just kind of all compacted into the gym?
Yeah, actually, I love that you know, kind of piggybacked that, because that's kind of what I'd like to transition into, is what you were saying, is, like, you feel like there's always, is there more?
Mm-hmm.
Is there more? Like, Tom Platt said, like, and if you feel that you could have done more, you're a loser. Like,
yeah.
He has this quote where he's like, you know, I promise myself, you have to promise yourself that you'll never go home a loser. And if you feel that you could have done more, then you're a loser. And, like, that was something that, like, really struck me. And I was like, you're right. Like, because I was always a really hard-working athlete. Like, I always prided myself, you know, I wanted to be the hardest working guy on the ice, in the gym, like, wherever I was, like, that was something that I wanted. Like, I want people to look at me and be like, that kid works his ass off. And, because, you know, like, that speaks, and I just always, there's, like, respect in that. Like, people that bust on their ass, it's like, yeah, like, I respect that. Like, that kid gives everything he's got.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing more respectable than that.
For sure. Me. Yeah. That's the biggest compliment you can get.
Right.
And, like, I look at that quote on my wall right there. It says, the moment you give up is the moment you let someone else win. And that's, like,
right.
You just put that out
exactly.
Right there. It's, like, the same exact thing. And Kobe was one of my favorite athletes, like, growing up. And now, as, like, you know, obviously he's passed away, but the older that I get, it's like the more times I look at his quotes, it's like you have to really carry that. And a lot of my Instagram feed is, like, all motivation stuff. So when I see that stuff, I close out on my phone and I'm like, why am I just scrolling on my phone? I'm going to go and be productive.
Right.
But it's tough because I'm sure you know too, like, having to be so active on social media, it's like you want to you don't want to compare yourself to other people, but you want to kind of see what you're working with and how you can get the, I guess, like, a level up on whoever it is, like, you're competing against.
Right.
So it's like, for yourself, what's that like? What was that like on competition day? Like, did you look around and you're like, damn, like, did you have, like, a kind of, like, a humbling moment? Or was it more like, no, I can compete. I can do this. Like, I work my ass off. And I know that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, actually, like, on competition day, I walked in there and I was like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
I actually thought I was going to place a bit higher than I did. I won, you know, first and true novice, which is, like, you know, first people competing there. The novice is, like, I think you can compete in that until you win that division, or, like, compete in, like, a national show, and then open as, like, the overall show.
Right.
So I was competing in NPC. I was probably, you know, one of the few natural guys there at the time. And I placed, like you said, first and true novice. I placed second in novice. And then I placed fourth in open. And so I remember my coach texted me that, like, before the results came out. And I was like, man, like, I really wanted that open. I thought I had it. But, like, you know, he's like, dude, it's your first show. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. You know, it could be, like, posing. It could be, you know, who knows? Like, whatever the judges are looking for. Mm-hmm. Judges could be looking for different things. I was just really happy with what I brought. I came in the best shape of my life. I was peeled. Like, you could see every vein, you know, striation in my body, like, veins in my abs, in my chest that I didn't even know I had. It was incredible. And, like, seeing them come through your quads is an insane experience. So when I was looking around in the, on, like, you know, show day, I felt really confident. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I got this. So if anything, it kind of lit a fire into my ass. Because I was like, you know, I want to have one hell of a year where I come back next year and it's just undeniable.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know going through, like, my first year how this stuff all works.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like I have a full year to grow and come back and be, you know, twice the guy that I was when I stepped on stage this year.
Yeah.
That's just how it works. And already how much I've changed in the past, like, 8-9 months is insane. So, like, now that I have a whole year, especially, you know, with Coach, who now knows my body very well and everything, I think it's going to be a really, really good year. And then, obviously, when we decide to take things, like, to the next level, which is a whole another conversation, which I'm not quite sure when that will be, but, you know, I'm definitely open to it because this is what I want to do. I'm really excited to see that transformation as well. So, I'm just excited for what's ahead. Like I said, kind of just going through the process, going through my reversal right now. And I'm already feeling so much stronger. It actually is crazy. Like, I'm 215 right now. I competed at 204. And I'm, like, just as strong as I was when I was, like, 240.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Because it's, like, you grow, you build all this tissue, and you get, like, kind of fat. And then, like, you shred it all down. You get, like, really tight. You compete, right? And you're shredded. You don't have an ounce of fat on you. But you maintained all that muscle, or at least most of it. And then when you finally give it those carbs and the food that it needs, that strength that comes back pretty quick in your reversal, from what I've learned and experienced right now, and it's, like, insane. So now I'm like, okay, I got a whole year. I'm already, like, so much stronger. So now it's like, okay, I'm setting, like, benchmarks and goals for myself. Like, I think it'd be really cool to be incline benching 315 for, like, a good amount of reps. Who knows if that's on my windshield. That's what I'm shooting for. It's what I want. I want six wheels on the squat bar for reps.
Yeah.
Because last year was insane. Like, I remember in college, like, when I graduated, five plates was, like, my one at max. And it was ugly. And then, like, in January, I was hitting that for, like, 10, like, nothing.
Wow.
So now I'm like, okay, like, you know, I want to throw that on the bar tonight, see how that feels. But then, like, you know, come January again, like, you'd be sick if I was doing that with, like, six.
Yeah.
You know, you're just constantly in that pursuit of progress. You're constantly trying to get better, trying to get stronger, trying to, you know, grow and level up.
Is there anybody from that competition that you met that you still connect with to this day that helped, one, gave you a good word of advice and that kind of motivates you to keep doing what you're doing?
There was actually a kid that was, like, our age. His name was Ant Leegee. Super nice kid. It was his first show too. Really nice guy. We talked a little bit there, but, like, not too much. It was just more like a good connection. And I met another guy, Steve, backstage. He was really cool. Helped take, like, my check-in pictures for Coach that I was sending him throughout the day.
Because
I had to check in, like, you know, probably, like, 3 or 4 times throughout the day.
Yeah.
So it was cool having, like, a helping hand back there. And so, like, we felt, he doesn't have much social media, but, like, got his number. We text, and then, like, Ant, we follow each other, like, on Instagram and stuff. So, like, I see his stuff, he sees mine. I'm supporting him and his goals. And, you know, he's just a great guy. So it's cool, like, meeting people that are kind of going through the same process as you.
Right.
And, like, I have a couple friends from my college that are doing that, that are bodybuilding, so it's just cool, you know, like, kind of having people that go down that same path,
because
it's very different, like, not a lot of people do this, and so people will be looking at it either, like, you know, like, you know, this guy's a show off or, like, full of himself, and it is very, like, show offy. I feel like you don't really,
that's,
like,
your profile though.
It.
Yeah,
but, like, that's kind of, that's the sport, is, like, it's confidence, it's, like, aggression, it's, you know what I mean, it's just, like, masculine, like, that's the sport. And that's kind of, like, what drew me to it, was because, like, not that I was ever, I wouldn't say, like, introverted, but, like, I wanted to be more confident in myself. I wanted to be more as, like, a person. And so, like, when I was following it and trying to, like, you know, be better in the gym, I was kind of watching these guys, and I'm like, that's just kind of, it's just badass. Like, it's sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So going through it, and, like, especially the mental side of things, I was like, you're kind of in your head a lot because it's, like, that's your image, right? And your social media is, like, huge. So, like, when people look at your social media, like, they instantly have, like, they, like, instantly judge, like, who you might be off the thing, right?
Right.
So it could be like, oh, like this guy, you know, this full of himself, or, you know, this guy's like some asshole or whatever. But like, that's just a sport, you know, it's just like an aesthetic. And that's kind of like what drew me to it, like classic bodybuilding, like Arnold aesthetic. I just thought it was cool. So that's kind of like really what drew me to it. It's just kind of like I just wanted to be better.
Yeah.
Be, you know, more confident in myself, be stronger in all areas, you know.
Then you want to go to Florida. That's like your main goal soon, to get down there, network, and get back into this down in that spot. And to kind of, I guess, cap things off and really kind of bring things back on what we were talking about since the beginning is like the whole entire journey and where it's brought you, the content, your brand, what you want to get out of everything. That event you were just talking about a little earlier in Florida that you went to, you got to remind me the name of it, but you met a lot of people that you look up to, not only content people, but just like bodybuilders in general.
Right.
So talking about the passion on how everything started, meeting these people, talk about that event and how it kind of made your mindset more open to be like, damn, this could be a reality for me in the next year or so.
Yeah, that was actually incredible. I mean, that weekend alone was probably like the best weekend of my life. It was just amazing. One, just being in Florida, it was just awesome. You know, being in the Northeast, like, my whole life. It's really cold here, and it's gray a lot most of the year. So, like, being down in Florida, like, every time I've ever gotten off the plane in Florida, you're like, we're here. Like, we're in Florida. This is sick. You know, palm trees, it's sunny. It's just different. So just being there was really cool. I was just happy to be there. And then I went down, so it was Raw Athletic Facility Grand Opening, right? So I went down there for that. Because I'm an ambassador for Raw, and I remember they sent in the like company chat, like one of my managers was like, hey, we're having a grand opening of a gym. And I'm like, no way, like that, I gotta go, that's sick. And they're like, yeah, you get to meet Chris Bumstead, and like meet all of us, and blah, blah, blah. And I remember they instantly put in the chat, like signed up right away. Like, it's completely free, just signed up. I mean, obviously, like flights and stuff I had to pay for, but the trip itself, the trip itself was pretty open.
Like, no, it's straight. No, you're good.
But so it was just really cool. Like, you know, I was like, that's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, I'm a year out of college, not even, and then to get that opportunity, and then for them to say they're opening up this gym, and like I get to meet one of my role models is insane. I was like, that's like the stars lined up. Like, I gotta go. So I flew down there, and I was like, I guess I'll backtrack a little bit before I go down this wormhole. I like really wanted to live in Tampa ever since I went to like my sophomore year of college. I just loved the area. I just loved Florida in general, and like I wanted to live like that golden lifestyle where it's like sunny, you get to work out, go to the beach, be in the sun, like you're jacked and tan, the dream. Like, you know, like that's sick. And so that's kind of how the whole started, the whole Jack and Tan thing. I was talking to my buddies about that. Yeah. They're like, dude, like that's your hashtag kind of thing. So that's how that kind of came together. But anyway, so flew down there for this and got to meet, you know, Chris Bumstead, who is like arguably my biggest role model in bodybuilding, at least in this era, and one of them. And so when I actually got to meet him, like all I could think was just like, thank you. I got to have a full conversation with him for like a couple minutes. It was pretty cool. And I was just like, thank you, man. Like, you know, you've been a huge role model for me. Had it not been for you, I wouldn't be here doing this, chasing what I want to do. And that's, you know, be a bodybuilder of my own, like chasing my own career, like to own my own gym, be my own boss one day. Like, and I was just like, screw it, like I'm going to go for it. And it's really just because I started watching you, like in sophomore year of college. And so I was just like, thank you, like for all that. Because had it not been for you, I wouldn't be here right now and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And it's been the best decision I've ever made was pursuing this. So it was really cool getting to meet him. Got to meet all the owners of Raw, which has been tremendous. And actually all really cool guys. Like Dom is actually from Providence.
Yeah, small world. Wild. Yeah.
I was like talking to him. I was like, hey, Dom, I just want to introduce myself, blah, blah, blah. I'm Rob. Congratulations on the opening of your gym. Really proud of you guys, blah, blah, blah. And so we just started talking. He's like, hey, I really appreciate that. Where are you from? And he's like, you know, I was telling him that I'm living here in Smithfield, Rhode Island. He's like, no way, I'm from Prov. So it's cool because, like, as I was getting to talk to all these guys that, like, you see through social media and that are, like, doing so well, like, are very successful, like, they're large figures. At the end of the day, they're really just regular people, like you and I. So it was really cool just, like, getting to talk to all of them and, like, you know, especially Chris Bumstead, like, having a whole conversation with him. He's a modern-day Arnold. And so, like, it was cool. Like, I was just talking to him like he's you.
Yeah.
You know? It was just so cool. It was a great experience. And then after having met him, like, you know, Nick Walker, Ian Valair, like, all those guys, I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, because they're all so, like, humble. Like, mm-hmm. they're all these massive dudes. Like, huge. And, like, you look at them, like, it's, like, a lot of people would be intimidated. Like, even say hi to them because mm-hmm. they're huge, right? But, they're just such nice guys, and, like, at the end of the day, they're just regular people, and this is just what they do.
Yep.
Like, they just know how to work hard. They like to work out. They go to the gym for really the same reasons that I do, right? Mm-hmm. I guess I should say I go to the same reasons that they do.
Yeah.
Because, like, Raw even did, like, for, like, a couple months ago, like, this whole, like, for the love of training for one of their drops, and, like, they all kind of spoke about, like, what training meant to them, and, you know, they kind of all touch on, like, how it's, like, a release. They go to the gym to kind of just clear their head and get away from things, and they just, like how it's, like, their own, like, world as they're there.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of cool because they all share that same, like, environment, but they've taken it to that level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have become so successful with it. And I'm like, well, this is, like, really what I want to do. I feel like I resonate really well with, like, the message that they were all giving off and kind of the lifestyle that they all live. And I listened to some of the seminars that they had down there. And I was like, this is what I want to do. That weekend really kind of just, like, set it in stone for me. It was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be here where it's warm. I want to be here. Especially this gym is incredible. Like, I had equipment that I didn't even know existed times, like, 10.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want to be here. I want to train here. I want to surround myself by these people. Like, this is the life that I want to live, at least right now. Like, I'm in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Just graduated college. Like, that's your time to, like, go for it. And I was like, this is what I want to do because I always have my life ahead of me to then, you know, live a normal life, work a regular job, do whatever.
Exactly.
And I'm still doing that now, but it's like, I don't want to be, you know, like 40-something. And then be like, what if I had done this?
What if, right?
What if I had done more? You don't
want the what ifs, yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like what you were saying earlier. Like, I don't want to feel like I could have done more.
Yep.
It's like every set, it's like, give it everything you got.
Yeah.
Every day, you know, you feel like you should be doing something.
Do it.
Try to do it, yeah.
I love that, man. I love, we have the same exact mindset, I feel like.
Hell yeah.
And it's applicable to, like, anything that we both do in life. And that's, like, those are the best type of people to meet. That's how you're going to get far, and that's how you're going to network yourself and grow as much as you can, because you're just surrounded by, like, the best people and, like, the support staff too. Like, you talk about all your friends, they support this journey that you're on. They support the path you're on. So I'm excited. I'm super excited to see what's to come for you. I'm gonna be following it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now that I'm not gonna be in Rhode Island, now that the news is out, I mean, still do want to connect and see what we can do down the line, because that would be dope.
Yeah,
I'm
excited. Awesome, man. Yeah.
Even before I leave, maybe we can get some like in person, like, get a workout in together.
That'd be great. Yeah,
but I'm not going to be pushing the weight that you're pushing, but I mean, still, it's going to be
doesn't matter, man.
It'll be fun, man. That'd be super fun. So I always ask, well, first off, thank you so much for hopping on Cam's Corner. I appreciate it a ton, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
You, for sure, awesome. Dude. Anytime. And I always ask everybody, what do you think of Cam's Corner? What do you think of the setup? What do you think of, I'm always trying to get better, and I always love hearing people's opinions, even if it's constructive criticism. Always trying to get better. So what do you think?
I actually think it's great. I mean, like, the whole setup is sick. Like, it sounds great. Like,
thank you.
I can hear you really well. Yeah. Like, you know, it's my first time on, like, a legit, like, podcast. So it's been a pretty cool experience, man. So I just want to say thank you for having me. And it's been a tremendous experience, man. So
yeah. Any social medias you want to plug before we cap it off?
My social medias are Rob Flans on pretty much everything, unless it's YouTube. It's Rob Flans _ because I had my old email linked to the original Rob Flans, and I can't get that back because AOL deleted it. So Rob Flans _ for YouTube, but then Rob Flans for Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. It's all the same.
Awesome. Yeah, go give Rob a follow, guys. Season 4, episode 5, episode 105. So we're going to keep climbing that totem pole. Now the journey is to 200, so we just passed 100. So, again, thank you guys so much for all the support. Cam's One Corner, all social media, podcast platforms, anywhere you get your podcast. We'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner. Rob, thank you one more time. Appreciate you for coming.
Thank you, brother.
And, yeah, this episode will be out as soon as possible. I'll let you know, and that's it. We'll connect down the line.
Appreciate you, brother.
You're the man. Thank you, brother. Thank you.